Hello everybody and welcome to episode 2 of High Plane Music Cast. My name is Simon, your webmaster as ever, and tinkling down from the wonders that is New York City is Jana Fisher. Hey Jana, how you doing?
Hi Simon. Congrats on the new cast. I'm excited to hear what you've got going on.
Woohoo, me too actually. It's all a bit ramshackle, but yeah, I'm sure everyone will enjoy it. And yeah, one of the big reasons why I've got Jana on to kind of start us off on this big old journey is that she's starting off on a big old journey herself with a new EP that's popped out over on her website, which is janafisher.com. And that EP is called Ideals and Deals. Congratulations on it.
Thank you. I'm really excited about it. It just came out, I guess, almost 2 weeks ago now, but on October 2nd. So, yeah, it's a great month.
It is certainly indeed. And first of all, I have to ask, it's the obvious question. What would you do with 30K if you actually had it?
Oh, well. It's funny because I wrote this song thinking about, so there were these two girls on the train talking about, you know, their struggles in New York and how they were taking all these odd jobs. And this one girl said to the other, you know, I just want 30K. I could live off that salary. And I was like, you know what? That's a pretty good summary of how a lot of artists feel around here. And, but also kind of funny because once you do have 30K, it doesn't feel like quite a lot when you're living in New York and your rent is an arm and a leg. So what would I do if I had an extra 30K? Now, that would be a different story, but 30K salary does not feel like all that much, let me tell you.
I can imagine. So is 60K going to be the second
season? 60K. I'm going to, yeah, I have this running joke with several friends of mine that next year it'll be 40K and next the following year it'll be 50. We'll just keep upping the number.
Excellent. I mean, congratulations on the music video as well. You was looking badass, and that is some excellent glasses you've got going.
Oh,
as well.
Thank you. Yeah, I had fun doing shopping for that. I bought all of the outfits and accessories and everything secondhand. So I was going through these thrift stores and just finding kind of wacky stuff. And then it was nice because I got to be different characters that I'm not actually in real life. I don't usually walk around with 5-inch heels and diva shades on. So that was a bit of a fun thing for me to do.
Tapping into your inner diva.
Oh yeah. It's like I get to be a bitch for a day and like nobody can complain because it's all for the music, all for art.
Yeah. Excellent. I mean, obviously the EP came out 2 weeks ago. It seems to be going down quite well. You had a launch gig obviously this week as well.
That was on Thursday. I had my great friends Derek Bishop, who you know, who's been featured on Higher Plane, and Jennifer Vasquez, who I did a couple of gigs with in Pittsburgh last summer. So we did a mini tour together, and they're very wonderful, talented folks and super supportive of my music as well. And yeah, we had a great gig and everybody had a really good time. So everything's off to a great start here.
Which is good. I mean, each of the three songs that you've got on the EP, obviously you've got 30K, which loving the old tambourining hit going on with. And that comes back with You Deserve Better as well. But each one of your songs comes from a completely different angle. And it's only three songs, but it feels like a complete package when you listen to it. It's really clever.
Thank you.
Is that something you were striving for particularly? Or is it kind of like this is me and this is a selection of what I do?
Yeah, I mean, I've been writing for a long time and I hadn't really done a proper release. I put out an album when I was like 18 of just stuff that I was fooling around with, but it didn't get, you know, a proper launch. And so I wanted this EP to be something that displayed different aspects of my writing and different aspects of the way, like the genres that I'm into. And so I felt those three songs in particular were complementary, and they all had sort of different personalities, and I thought that they made a nice package. So, yeah, that was what I was going for.
Awesome. It definitely comes across. And, I mean, you looking through your bios and indeed going back to, is it History of Sleepwalking was the album you done in 07, wasn't it?
Yeah. It was so long ago, man.
No, go for it.
It just almost feels like I'm starting as a new artist now because it was so long ago and so, like, me not knowing what I was doing, you know? Mm. And I feel like my writing and what I'm into as a performer is so different now that it's almost like beginning a completely new career, you know?
So, like, when you do Ideals and Deals, does that kind of... this sound now, do you think, yeah, that is what I want to do?
Yeah, I'm really proud of it, and I feel like it's really representative of who I am now. There are definitely other things I would like to explore in the future, of course, but I think this is a really good snapshot of this moment in time of my art and my music, so.
Cool. Yeah. So, I mean, what got you interested in music from the beginning? Was you in a musical family, or did you just kind of listen to things and go, ooh, I quite like that, I want to do it?
Oh, well, so I grew up singing in church. My mom, we lived in a small town, and so my mom sort of pinch hit as the choir director in our little tiny town and ended up having me sing solos when I was like 4 years old. And so I like grew up singing and performing and was in some musicals. And then I started writing as a teenager and, you know, was really influenced by, you know, Tori Amos and Fiona Apple and like the way that they treated piano and the way that their songs all had personalities and stories. And so it was being in music was a completely natural thing. It was just sort of an extension of my history and you know, all those different things that came together to make me. It was just like a natural extension of that. So
cool. When did you start learning the playing the piano?
I started lessons when I was six, but I didn't really take it seriously. So I, you know, screwed around a lot and I was like, oh, these lessons are so terrible and so boring. And then I ended up getting really into it, obviously, later. So, yeah, when I was maybe like 12 or 13, I started taking it much more seriously. And then, it became more interesting to me as I learned to use it as a way to express myself instead of just like, I'm going to read this boring piece that I have to read for my lesson. You know, it became something that I can compose on this. Like, this is great. So, yeah.
All of a sudden black keys become the ones that you want to smash all the time.
Exactly.
Can't beat a minor key. Can't beat a minor key. Cool. So, and then obviously when, was you born in New York or did you move to New York and discover yourself musically there, or how did that all come about?
So I was born in Ohio and then I spent several years in Florida, which is a sort of a musical wasteland, to be honest. It's like it's all cover bands. It's really depressing if you're trying to become a singer-songwriter. So I didn't really know what to do when I was living there. And so the scene in New York has been such a blessing because I get to interact with so many different singer-songwriters and everyone's very supportive of original music here. So yeah, I've definitely been able to better pinpoint who I am as a musician here as opposed to the other places where, I don't know, it's funny how much having a supportive live music environment is helpful in your development, you know?
Do you enjoy playing live as opposed to going in and recording stuff from scratch?
Well, I like both of those things. I do enjoy playing live, but I also really like recording and being able to control exactly how everything comes out. But live is nice because there's a sort of spontaneous passion that you get with live performance that you don't get from recordings, no matter how live you try to make them feel. Because, you know, there's this sort of adrenaline rush when you're playing live, and you get that high of interacting with the crowd and trying to make yourself heard that you don't really have in recording. So you don't always get to capture that in the recording process. But I tried to as best as I could on this EP. I wanted it to feel really live and intimate, and not like it was overproduced and perfect.
Sure, it does feel very natural with all of the sounds and the actual way how it comes across. Everything feels natural. Nothing feels processed.
Good, because that's what I intended.
Hey! Yay! There we go. That's at least one bottle of wine sorted.
Oh, so I have your permission to start drinking, even though it's only lunchtime here. Great.
Lunchtime drink is good. Lunchtime drink is good. Yeah. Did you record that all at home, or did you go into a studio? Or?
No, I recorded at a studio in Brooklyn called The Gallery, and it's quite an interesting space. They've built it into this loft where other people actually live, and then they have half of this loft is a recording studio, and it's really great. And the engineer that I worked with, his name is Brian Forbes, and he was just fantastic. He was so supportive and patient because it was my first time doing real, real, real recording. So, yeah, it was a great process.
Cool. And I mean, obviously you'd done some stuff in earlier years, even if it wasn't necessarily representative of where you are now. Did that hold you in quite good stead for then going in when you wanted to record this new stuff?
Yeah, it was sort of a double-edged sword because, you know, I put a lot of work into the album that I did, but it was all very, I did it all by myself. Like, I played all of the instruments, which were mostly software instruments, but I played all the instruments. I recorded myself. I did all of the editing. And so then that was good because it taught me to learn what I wanted, but it also, it didn't really prepare me for working with other people. But thankfully, I had extremely gracious musicians that I worked with. And everyone who was involved was really helpful and supportive, and I couldn't have done it without them. But now I feel, now that I've done this and I understand the process a lot better, and I think I could do something really interesting next time, you know?
Hey, and you're already thinking about a next time?
I am already thinking about a next time.
Ah.
Yeah.
Okay. See, exclusives already. On the cast. Going back to where you were saying that you was working with other people, something as a musician myself, I'm a bit precious about letting other people take hold of what you've already made and how you already have that in your head. Did you find it quite hard to surrender those other instruments and those other ways of playing stuff to other musicians?
Actually, no. I was sort of at a point where I was so ready to work with other people and to have other people's input, maybe because I had made an album that where I controlled everything and I played everything. I was really looking forward to having other people's input, and the people that I worked with were all people that I knew were great musicians and that I trusted, and they didn't seem to have their own agenda of, we want to make this song our way. They just wanted to make the songs the best that they could be. So in this particular moment, I found it really liberating to, you know, be able to accept other people's input and see what came out of that. I feel like when you are open to other people's input, it sort of improves the song exponentially in a way that you can't when you're just working by yourself and being in control of everything.
Okay. And then are you considering, or are you already working with other people on the new material that you're thinking of, or have you got plans in place for people to do stuff?
I'm not quite there yet. I'm sort of making demos of the songs that I'd like to record next. And I would imagine that I would use some of the same musicians because they were, had a great experience with them, and one of them plays with me at my live gigs now, but we're not quite to that stage yet.
You've got to let the EP breathe, haven't you?
Get
it out and about.
I can't talk about the new stuff. About recording new stuff. I just had a new EP 2 weeks ago. I'm like thinking so far ahead. You need to slow down a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. Enjoy the moment.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you're playing the new EP live out and about, and you're playing with others then?
Yeah. I play with a guitar player. His name is Elliot Klein, and he played on the EP as well. And, yeah, he's really great.
Awesome. So, you were saying about how, a lot of musicians around New York, you're kind of band together. Do you have a good camaraderie with a lot around there? And
yeah, I've got several singer-songwriter artist friends that I work with, or that we play shows together, or we're just generally supportive of each other. And it's a really great scene. It's kind of overwhelming when you first get here because there are so many live music venues and just hundreds of shows you could go to every week. But when you find people, we're all sort of going through the same things. So there's a certain camaraderie that develops much more quickly because we've all been through the scene and we've all played the same gigs to three people, you know. We've already done that and we have those shared experiences.
And I mean, when you've gone to gigs and there's only been a few people there, when you're right starting out, it can put off a lot of musicians who are wanting to start out. Do you have any particular tips or advice or anything that you can give to new artists that want to break out?
Yeah, I think you have to see every step that you take as a step forward, even if it doesn't necessarily feel like a step forward. So you're going to play a couple of gigs where nobody comes and you can't, it's discouraging, and you can acknowledge that it's discouraging, but it's best to see it as a step forward and not as the end of the world, because it's not always going to be like that. It's not always going to be you just playing for three people. Like, you just have to keep putting one foot in front of the other. And it will eventually get better, even if it doesn't seem like it will.
And have you got any particular favorite venues that you like to perform at?
Let's see. Well, the place I played my EP release gig at, a place called Gizzy's in the West Village in New York. And that's a nice place. It's very cute and musician friendly. There's a couple other venues that I really like. They are The Living Room and Googies, which, so it's like a big room and a smaller room in the same venue, and that's in the Lower East Side. And I have a gig coming up next month at Sidewalk Cafe, which is also a great Lower East Side venue for singer-songwriters.
Cool. Okay. So have you got quite a lot of shows lined up as well as the Sidewalk Cafe one?
I have, another one next month in Bushwick, Brooklyn, at a place called Cave, where I get to play for 2 hours, so that'll be fun. So a long gig, break out some B sides and some deep cuts, right?
And looking at your website, it says that on the Sidewalk Cave one, we'll be recording this show. Come be part of my first live album.
Yeah, well, yeah, I will record that one. Hopefully it'll turn out all right. So if it turns out well, I will tell you all about it. If it turns out poorly, then we'll just won't tell anyone.
We'll edit this bit out.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. And I'm scatting about a bit, but I've just noticed handmade packaging when you buy the CD.
Yeah, so I have been making... I'm doing this super DIY and making my own homemade CD packaging for the EP. If you buy it, they're cardstock envelopes that I've decorated, and I designed the art for the cover and the CD face. So it's made with a lot of love as well. So it's extra special that you can't find in stores, only on my website.
definitely. And I love digital for what it does for everyone across the world and for everyone breaking out. But there's something about having the CD in your hand.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
And where can they grab the CD?
You can get the CD at a show or at my website. I have them for sale on my site, as well as the EP, which is a free download. But you could buy, if you want the CD proper, you could buy the CD from my site.
Cool. Okay. Just touching on social media and stuff as a whole, obviously sure. You've got quite a lot of a big place that you can go around for New York to get into every venue going and spread the love of Jenna Fisher. But online gets you out to a much larger community. And that's something that really has come on leaps and bounds over the last 10 years or so that wasn't available to you beforehand. Has that kind of changed, or have you enjoyed being able to get out to people across the world?
Yeah, it's really, really interesting. Even when I put out the CD that I put out in 2007, like, Twitter didn't exist back then, and you know, Facebook didn't have musician pages, and so things have really changed even in the past 5 years. And I don't even know how we were supposed to let people know about things anymore. Like, I forget what it was like, because now you can I can tell people about every little aspect of the recording process in real time on Twitter. And you know, I can meet people from all over the place. I used to do a live Ustream show, and I, you know, had fans in Turkey, and, you know, there's people wow. who like me on Facebook from Brazil. I have no idea how they found out about me even, but I'm just trying to, you know, put myself out there on Facebook and Twitter and these other places. And I guess that lets people make up their own minds about, you know, whether they want to be involved or not. And I think it's great, because we all have so much choice as music fans, and so many opportunities to discover new artists. And it's like the doors are open. And even though I'm based in New York, I almost get to tour on the internet in a sort of a way, you know.
So, I mean, with the Ustream stuff, that's something very, very recently that a lot of people have started to kind of cotton on and do, and you're already there doing it. It must be fantastic, because they have a little chat room at the side, don't they, where people can chat away. And do you ever look back at what they've all said afterwards and kind of smile? And
yeah, no, sometimes it's pretty funny. Yeah, and it's nice to see that there's people on there and interacting with each other. And yeah, it's just, I don't know, it's so great. I'm so glad that we live in this time and we have these opportunities to promote ourselves as independent artists that, you know, people didn't get to have before. So
there does seem to be quite an uprising for independent artists as well. It's become in vogue to kind of go, I am independent, I do everything right. myself, isn't
it? Right, yeah, it is kind of. Well, because I think the gatekeepers are less important now than they were 10 or 15 years ago. You know, the major labels have their acts that they put millions and millions of dollars into, and for the most part, there are exceptions, but for the most part, what's coming out of the big music machine just doesn't feel genuine. And so I think people are appreciating more and more the idea of the independent artist who is extremely genuine and is involved in everything his or herself and is not controlled by some big corporation. So I think like what we're looking for in music, of course, there is the kind of music that we want to listen to and we want to dance and we want to forget about life. Mm. And the major labels are great for that. But a lot of times what we're looking for in music is an emotional connection with something or a way to express something that we didn't know how to express without music. And I think the people are seeking out independent artists because of that genuine nature of what they do and how they've incorporated everything about their music into their life and their person. So I think we like independent artists because it's like a whole package of a person who makes music and this is their life and that's who they are.
Yeah, I mean, just flash forward 5 years into the future when everyone knows exactly what Jenna Fisher is and you're out there and someone lands a lovely juicy record label deal on you or something like that, and you've got this golden ticket to go into, I love how you said the gatekeepers, that's great. That is an album title right there. If you was given that opportunity, but it meant that it would take away a lot of the aspects of being involved in every single step of the process of you making the album and doing all of that kind of thing, would you kind of go, no, I want to be involved in everything, because you've, as an independent artist, you've done it and it's part of what you produce and what you've made, I suppose?
Yeah, I think it would be very hard to go backwards and to give up that control. I can't say that I wouldn't be excited about the prospect of a big check, but I would find it very hard to go and give up control, especially when I've been so involved in everything here. So someone that I would love to have the career of is Ani DeFranco, just because she has always been in control of everything, you know, and she started her own label and she still makes a lot of decisions and she picked out the people that work for her. You know, it sounds like a lot of work, but it also sounds like the perfect artistic outlet, because you don't have to worry about people making decisions for you that you aren't going to agree with or that you're going to regret, or saying things about you that you don't feel represent who you are.
Cool. Okay. Which brings me on, funnily enough, to a couple of the questions that every artist will be asked on the High Play Music cast. Okay. What artists would I find if I scrolled down your playlists?
My playlist. So I am the biggest Fiona Apple fan.
What do you think of her new album, by the way?
Oh, I love her new album. It might be my favorite, to be honest, which is saying a lot. But I like her new album a lot. I just feel like it's just really raw. So I have a lot of her. Lately, I've been listening to a lot of The National and Sharon Van Etten, and also the new Mumford & Sons album, which is, you know, the biggest album in the U.S. right now. And I do like some, like, cheap pop music and some hip-hop, but, you know, we'll keep those to the guilty pleasures bin.
That may be a new question invented. What is your guilty pleasure? Everyone has one hidden away somewhere,
yeah.
Don't they?
Yeah, they do. They all do.
The next question is, if you could learn one new musical instrument overnight, what would it be?
Oh, goodness. I would love to play accordion. I think that would be really fun. I don't know what I would do with it. But I've heard it's a lot harder than it looks. So if I could just, like, snap my fingers and know how to play accordion, I think that would be fun.
Cool. I can see a little mini solo in the middle of 30K.
Yeah. Put down the keyboard, pick up the accordion, just do a little solo.
Paris version. Yeah. Cool. And then moving on, if you've got a dream, if you could have a dream duet with anyone, alive or dead, who would you choose?
Oh, goodness, you should have prepped me for these questions. How am I supposed to pick that? You know what? I would love to sing with Jeff Buckley. He's got a great voice.
Oh, wow, that's a great choice. Are you quite a big fan?
I really love, I don't claim to be an expert. I love Grace, of course, but he's just such an amazing singer. He would be great to do it with.
Wow. And silly final question.
Okay.
If you can have your own food merchandise, what would you
my
be?
My own food merchandise.
Yes.
Wow. Let's see. I would probably just make mac and cheese. This mac and cheese is just...
Jana cheese.
That could work.
Superb. Oh, well, thank you for divulging into those. It's awesome. So, okay, I think we're about coming to the end of the little half hour that we can do for these episodes. It's been absolutely fascinating chatting to you, Janet. It's been...
Oh, thank you. It's been great talking to you too, Simon.
Awesome stuff. So, just a quick roundup. Ideals and Deals is the EP coming from Jana Fisher. Where can they get it?
My website is janafisher.com.
Awesome. And I so recommend checking out the video for 30K as well. It's awesome. So thank you very much, Jana. You take care. And hopefully you can come back when we know exactly what's going on with the new little things that are coming out. I'm interested
Absolutely.
To hear.
Absolutely. I'd love to.
Cool. My name's Simon. You lot will take care, everyone. And we'll see you in a couple of weeks for the Higher Plane Music Cast. Bye for now.
Bye.
Down from the wonders that is New York, we have Jana Fisher with us today. Hello, Jana, how are you doing?
Hey, it's actually Jana.
Ah! Oh, back but... again.
It's not the first time that's happened. It's okay. Always a debate telling people what my name is, so.
Shall I go from the top? I think that'd be best.
Okay.